Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 14. And this is part of our Lord's discussion of the end times and one of the signs of the end times. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." How much money should your local home congregation have in its savings account on the day that Christ returns? That question brings us face to face with maybe two different aspects of our lives of faith here on this earth as Christians. The one is to be good stewards and to certainly plan for the future as God would have us plan. At the same time, the believers, the church of Christ, is also supposed to be spreading the gospel and waiting for his return to come at any minute. Hollywood lately is obsessed with the end of the world. Apparently now it's going to come in 2012. They know that there's money to be found in the fact that inside of all human beings there is a certain sense that this world will someday pass away. It will be coming to an end, just like our bodies and just like our houses, just like the trees around us and everything else in this fallen world. Now our Lord Jesus, when speaking of the end of time and of that great and awful day, has given us specific signs to watch for. And the signs that he lists for us are very interesting. They are specific. At the same time, they are vague enough and general enough that each generation must watch them and say it could happen any time. Christians sometimes may wrongly be afraid of Judgment Day. It certainly is described as an awful day that is coming on the earth. And yet our Lord tells us that it is a day we can look forward to and be hopeful about. He says, "When that day comes, look up, because your redemption draws near." Martin Luther said this, a great little illustration. He says, "If you were lying captive as a prisoner in a castle and heard men shooting and storming it, you would not at all be afraid of this shooting and storming. You would actually be glad about it if you knew that the attack had been begun for your sake to free you in this way." When we look at the signs our Lord has given us, we certainly can say that we are in the last days. And the New Testament writers describe this New Testament era in that way, as being in the last days. We can say that the time is ripe for Christ to return. His return is imminent. And one of the signs that he gives us is this one in our text, that the good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. We're told in John's Revelation that at the Feast of Salvation, there will be people sitting there from every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. We're told also in that book of Revelation, as was referred to earlier in the week, that God has this book of life and inscribed in it the names of all of those who finally, ultimately will come to heaven, his elect, his church in this world throughout all time. The names in that book are unknown to us. We can be confident our name is there when we are repentant and trusting in Christ alone for our hope of salvation. But the other names are unknown to us. God has not decided to let us know the names of all those people who are in that book. And especially the last one that will finally be reached in time, which then will trigger the end of the world. Once the final one who is elect has been caught with the gospel, then the end time will come. Just think, if God had told us who that person is, the name of that person, where he or she would live, just think what that could have done to us in our spiritual lives as far as making us lethargic or maybe taking away a need to try and get the gospel out and so on. The fact that that name, that final name to be inscribed in the book of life, The fact that that name has been withheld from us by God should send us, the members of Christ Church, out in all directions in the world. Now, this has always been the nature of the true biblical faith, even before the time and coming of Christ. It's the nature of God's church in this world to have this evangelistic, worldwide desire to bring all people to the knowledge of their Savior. And there are examples of this even in the Old Testament. Despite the fact that the Jews were God's chosen people through whom the Messiah would come, and there were very tight regulations on them, nevertheless, if you look through the pages of the Old Testament, you can see this same wonderful evangelistic teaching there as well. And it may help explain to us why at the birth of our Lord Jesus that wise men came from the east to worship him. If you claim to be a living, breathing member of the Holy Christian Church by faith in Christ, and yet if you have no real desire in you to have this precious message of the gospel preached and brought to other souls so that they can know about their salvation, then you may want to check again your spiritual pulse. Those who truly cling to Christ alone and have personally now benefited from the wonderful blessings of the gospel should in some way have a throbbing, beating pulse and heart toward the souls of the lost in our world. Now, sometimes we might assume that the gospel has maybe not reached as many places and people as it actually has. When we look to Scripture itself, for instance, consider the day of Pentecost. How many thousands of people from around the world were present that day in Jerusalem to hear the wonderful message of Christ right from the lips of the apostles in their own language by that special gift of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine how many of those people went back to their homelands, to their countries, to their towns, to their local little gatherings and synagogues and restaurants and family reunions and talked about this marvelous gospel they had heard, and that they had talked to people who were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ? Paul writes to the Romans just a couple decades after that day. Your faith is being reported all over the world. He writes to the Colossians. All over the world this gospel is producing fruit and growing. Dr. Franz Pieper says this: even in the days of the apostles, it could be said with good reason that the preaching of the gospel had penetrated into all the world. There may be certain places where we feel like it possibly hasn't reached. And yet, maybe it has. Right now, we maybe often think of areas of Asia. It's fun to hear about stories how in China, right now, there is a new birth of evangelism going on, a new spread of Christianity. But we know that as early as at least the 600s AD, that the gospel was present there. History tells us that Franciscan missionaries made another push in the 1200s, and the Jesuits made another push in the 1300s to bring the gospel of Christ into that region. When we think in our day, in the last 100 years or so, of the potential of radio broadcasts, and how many people may possibly be reached with the gospel through that. You see, this precious message about Christ that we love is the most inclusive doctrine when it comes to who it is meant for all people. And that's the most comforting, isn't it, for you personally to know that you're included in that. If Christ had said that this message was to be inclusive only of those who were good people or people of faith, if he somehow put the quality on us, that would have been a question mark if we were included. But the fact that he says to all nations and that he has given his life for all means that you can be confident today not only that it was for you, but anybody you talk to, the gospel is for them as well. And so the gospel is certainly the most inclusive doctrine there is. At the same time, it is the most exclusive in this way. It can be benefited from only through faith in Christ, and it can reach us only by word and sacrament. And so this is the charge and the mission now of Christ Church in this world. You and I, by God's grace, through faith in Christ, right now, possess the only antidote that gets people out of the ground after their death. We possess the only antidote to sin and the grave. That's the harsh reality. And so why would we ever want to put that in our back pocket and sit on it? May the words of our Lord not fill us with fear about the end of time, but may they help us stay watchful and ready in faith. And may they also be our calling card as members of his church in this world. And as believers in Christ throughout our lives, no matter how long that will be, let us always keep our eyes heavenward to the sky, watching for our Lord's return spiritually, but spiritually also with our hands, keep throwing out the seed of the gospel that others may know and wait for that same wonderful Savior. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to join with me in a collect or prayer that you'll find on page 166. Page 166 in the front part of your hymn book. We will use today collect number 139. O Lord God Almighty, mercifully grant that we who know you by faith may with our whole heart believe in Jesus Christ, our only Savior, serve him, and steadfastly confess and glorify him, making known his saving word among all nations. Through the same your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.